Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. I'm your host, Thomas, and I hope your week is going well so far. Tonight, Abby will be taking us on a dreamy adventure into a mysterious forest, where we'll discover a home filled with enchanting items. It's also that time of week where I mention that tomorrow is Thursday, and that means a new exclusive episode on our supporters feed, Get Sleepy Premium. TK will be reading a light-hearted story about a sleepy town with the most fantastic pumpkin carving contest. And of course, this is in addition to all of the other benefits of Get Sleepy Premium, like access to our entire catalogue, all ad-free. If you're interested in signing up, go to getsleepy.com/support or just use the link in the show notes to find out more. Now, with everything going on in the world this year, I think it's been particularly tough on just about everyone's mental health. And that's why I'd like to extend a thank you to our friends at BetterHelp for supporting the podcast, but also for supporting so many people around the world. If you feel overwhelmed by the way you're feeling day to day, or you just need someone to talk things through with, then please do visit betterhelp.com/getsleepy. Looking after our mental health is so important. BetterHelp offers professional counselling for individuals, couples, and young people. By assessing your needs, they will find the ideal therapist to match you up with. You'll be able to send messages to your counsellor anytime and schedule weekly video calls from the comfort of your own home. And as a Get Sleepy listener, you'll receive 10% off your first month by going to betterhelp.com/getsleepy. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, and you'll be joining over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. And do remember that right now, you as a Get Sleepy listener can receive 10% off your first month. So don't delay your happiness any longer. Our friends at BetterHelp are there for you. Now it's almost time to hear tonight's magical story. But before we get started, just make sure you are nice and comfortable in bed. Close your eyes and simply listen to my voice. As you relax, imagine that your bed is a cloud. It's soft and supporting. You float on it gently, without a care in the world, while it transports you to dreamland. Because it's made of air, it begins to envelop you like a fog. It shields the outside world from view, removing any distractions, while you drift off to sleep on this cozy cloud. You take a deep breath in through your nose, and exhale out of your mouth. You notice your breath moves some of the fogginess out of the way. And in doing so, it reveals something. You're not sure what it is, but something is on the other side of this fog. So you take another deep breath in, and exhale out of your mouth once more. This time, your breath parts the fog completely, and behind it is a path. And this is where our story begins.
It's a dirt path, lined on both sides with grass and a colourful assortment of autumn leaves. You lift your gaze to realise that you're standing at the edge of a meadow. Small white flowers grow here and there amongst the green grass. The path cuts across the meadow at an angle, leading to the woods just beyond. You follow the path across the clearing. There's a magical glow to this meadow that you can't quite describe, as if there's something special in the air. Things that are usually overlooked or mundane become quite apparent, like the soft hum of insects. A small fuzzy bee lands on a flower. A butterfly flutters overhead, playing in the wind. The sun is warm on your face, though a light breeze sends a tingle down your spine and goosebumps along your arms. You stop at the edge of the meadow where it meets the woods. The magical glow seems to continue into the woods as well. You step inside, just beyond the first line of trees. It's quieter here. Off in the distance, you hear a woodpecker knocking its beak against the trunk of a tree. Occasionally, there's the soft chirp of a single bird. But other than these intermittent sounds, the woods are marked by silence. The trees here are craggly and old. You let your gaze follow the trunk of one such tree, winding through its branches. The sky turns from blue to grey as a cloud passes in front of the sun. In the shadow's path, the air around you gets a little chillier. Luckily, you're wearing a cozy jacket, which keeps you plenty warm. You look back down at the path before you and find that just a few steps ahead, there's a little black cat sitting on the ground. It flicks its tail back and forth and peers at you intently but playfully with bright green eyes. How curious, you think. What is this cat doing here at the edge of the woods? You look around to see if there's anyone else out here. Perhaps the owner is nearby. But the woods are just as still as before. It's only you and the curious little green-eyed cat. But then, out of the corner of your eye, you see a raven perched on a branch just above the cat. Had it been there before? You don't recall seeing it when you first noticed the cat. How strange. The raven watches you with inquisitive, cold black eyes. It ruffles its feathers and cocks its head. Then it turns and flies to a cluster of branches a little way down the path. It turns back to look at you once more. The cat stands up and arches its back as it stretches. It walks over to you and makes a slow, deliberate circle around your feet, tickling the backs of your legs with the tip of its tail. It looks up at you with its bright green eyes and cocks its head, just as the raven did, and then saunters off slowly down the path. It stops beneath the cluster of branches making up the raven's perch and turns to look back at you. You're not sure what to make of these two. The cat and the raven seem to know each other. They certainly aren't bothered by one another's presence. The cat lets out a soft meow and swishes its tail in the air. It looks ahead to the path and then back at you. The raven does the same. It's almost as if they want you to follow them. Why not, you think? You have all the time in the world. You start off down the path toward the raven and the cat. Each deep breath fills your nose with the scent of this magical forest. There's an essence of pine and damp leaves. You exhale slowly, enjoying the rich, earthy smell. As you pass the cluster of branches on your left, the raven takes off and lands again a bit further down the path. The cat keeps a few paces ahead of you and turns its head every once in a while to make sure you're not far behind. The path leads deeper and deeper into the woods. The farther you travel away from the meadow, the closer the trees draw in around you. It's darker here in the inner reaches of the forest. You look up and find you can no longer see the sky, just the dense green canopy above. You begin to lose track of time. With every twist and turn, there are more trees. More gnarled roots and moss-covered ground. The cat trots ahead and pauses, waiting for you to catch up. The raven flutters from branch to branch, keeping a watchful eye. Up ahead, you see what looks like a clearing in the woods. The cat stops where the trees meet the grass. It sits down and nonchalantly licks its front paw, pretending not to notice you. The raven drifts down to the ground and smooths back its feathers. You walk closer and see the clearing is fairly small and shaped like an oval. In the center, there's a garden, wild and tangled, with many kinds of flowers, vines, and shrubs. And just behind the garden sits a quaint old stone hut. It's an odd place for a house, you think. It's so secluded, tucked back here among the trees, with only one path leading to it. Who lives here, you wonder? The cat disturbs your reverie by bounding off behind the house. At least you've solved the mystery of where the little cat came from. It's easy to tell when an animal is in its home space, safe and comfortable. Strangely enough, this also seems to be the raven's home. It walks up to the edge of the garden and then beats its wings a few times, gaining just enough height to perch atop an old broomstick. The broomstick is handmade, with a tree branch for a handle and a dense bunch of twigs bound together at the bottom. It's leaning up against the house, right beside the front door. The cat and the raven led you here, and now they seem to be inviting you to look around. The garden is rather intriguing. Some of the plants you recognize, like the red rose bush with thick brown spines and plump rose hips hanging from the stems. Others you don't, like the little bush with elegant green leaves and clusters of dusky pink blooms. In front of the bush is a small wooden sign stuck into the ground on a stake. In cramped, curled handwriting, it bears the name of the plant, along with a few lines about its uses. Mugwort, it reads, for the relief of sleepiness. Roman soldiers tucked it into their sandals to soothe tired feet. Keeps the moths away. Curious, you think. An old flagstone path winds through the garden. You decide to see where it leads. Next to the mugwort is a taller plant with stiff, linear stems and silvery green leaves. Wormwood, the sign reads, for poor appetite and spiced mead. An even taller plant is next. It has green stems and palmate leaves that give way to delicate, drooping, bluish-purple flowers shaped like cloaks. The sign bears two names, Monkshood, for the flower's shape, and Wolf's Bane. Beware, the sign reads, this is the queen of poisons. Handle with care. You shove your hands deep into your pockets, careful not to brush up against the wolf's bane. The cat jumps around the corner of the house to swat at a passing dragonfly, which darts off safely. The cat turns to look at you, walking over and winding its way between your feet, rubbing its head against your leg. It purrs gently and looks up at you with its green eyes. You bend down and scratch its head. It seems like you've made a new friend. Next to the wolf's bane is a small green plant with tiny yellow flowers. Rue, the sign reads. Medieval. That which is grown near a fig tree. That's a rather odd explanation, you think? Especially since there aren't any fig trees. What a strange garden this is. It's very pretty, but rather unusual. You continue along the jagged flagstone path, meandering past hemlock, yarrow, nettle, and primrose, past the foxglove, castor, and hollyhock. A tall plant with green leaves and glossy black fruit, almost the size of a cherry, grabs your attention. This plant towers over your head. The fruit hangs at eye level. You look down at the sign. Belladonna, it reads. Deadly nightshade. It's a beautiful plant, quite intriguing in both name and appearance. The sign continues. For the dilation of pupils. Cows and rabbits enjoy as a snack. The thought of a cow with dilated pupils comes to mind, causing you to chuckle. How goofy. The path winds around the back of the house. Here, it passes through a cluster of fly Amanita mushrooms. They remind you of fairy tale toadstools with thick white stems and large bulbous red caps dotted with white. Finally, around the other side of the house, near the front door, there's one last sign. It sits beneath the trunk of a willowy tree. Sprouting from the branches are yellow flowers that look like sunbursts. Thin petals stick out at all angles from the centre. The sign below is simpler than all the rest. It just bears the name of the tree, Witch Hazel. Beside the Witch Hazel, the raven is still perched atop the broom, leaning against the stone wall of the house. It watches as you inspect the tree and its cheerful flowers. Also near the door is the little cat, sitting on the front step. It looks up at you and gives a spirited meow. At the very same moment, the door to the hut creaks open. The cat hops across the entryway. The raven too leaves its perch, flying through the open door to land on the back of an old rocking chair inside. The cat turns to look at you. It hops back out and walks behind your legs, coaxing you through the door. Once you're inside, the cat meows approvingly. It feels to you as though you've been invited in, and in a way, you have. The interior of the house is even more curious than the garden. You're standing in a compact room that serves as both a sitting area and a kitchen. A few more brooms rest against the wall on the left. A dark green wool cloak with a long pointed hood hangs from a peg near the door. Tucked away in the corner is a large black cauldron. It sits in a stone alcove near a deep fireplace that's stacked with wood and kindling. You peek into the cauldron, but find it's empty, save for the black metal ladle dangling from the rim. You leave the cauldron and walk past the fireplace to the kitchen. Here, the countertops are covered in rows and rows of glass jars, filled with all manner of herbs and spices. There's dried lavender and sage, star anise and cinnamon sticks. One tall jar holds long, thin sprigs of some kind of herb you don't recognize. Next to it is a short, squat jar with molasses-colored vanilla bean pods stacked one on top of the other. Behind the vanilla is a round jar filled to the brim with dried dragon cayenne chili peppers. They're bright red and curve up into dark green stems at the top. Braids of red, white and yellow onions hang from the ceiling alongside white and pink garlic. A yew branch is situated above the door. River stones and multicoloured sea glass sit on the windowsill. They reflect the light from outside, casting stained glass patterns on the walls. And there, on the old rocking chair with the inquisitive raven, lies a well-worn black hat. It has a wide brim and pointed top that curves ever so slightly to one side, leaving delicate wrinkles on the underside of the fabric. It must belong to the owner of the home, you think, along with the broomsticks and cauldron. The cat meows near the door. It's been fascinating exploring this house, but it's getting late and you should be on your way. You follow the cat out onto the front step with the raven. The door closes itself with a click behind you. The sun has set while you were inside the house. It's dusk now. The sky casts a purplish grey light on the clearing around this magical hut. You head for the path through the woods, but once again, the cat ushers you a different way. It wraps itself around your legs and directs you back toward the garden's flagstone path. The raven calls in agreement. You walk back across the flagstones, and behind the house, you notice a second path leading to a small brook surrounded by trees. You don't remember this path being here before, but perhaps you just didn't notice. The cat lopes lazily down the path, and the raven hops from stone to stone. They bring you to where the stones end, at a thick bed of moss near the banks of the stream. On one side of the moss, there's a stone circle and everything you need to build a fire. Once it's lit, you sit beside the orange blaze and warm your hands. The moss is dry and spongy. It bounces a little when you move. You find it quite comfortable, especially after a long walk. You lay back on the moss and look up at the sky. The stars are bright overhead. You recognize a few constellations. There's a hunter aiming his bow and arrow, the celestial sisters, the large bear, and the ladle. A shooting star makes an arc across the sky, like a diamond on black velvet. The cat curls up next to you and blinks sleepily. The raven has found an upright log to use as a perch. Ever watchful, it stands still, looking out over the night. You stroke the cat's fur, feeling the vibration of its purring. As you let out a yawn, you notice a wall of fog slowly approaching from across the stream. It's a familiar fog, the same one that you blew out of the way to find this adventure. You lay back and close your eyes. The stream gently trickles over small pebbles. The breeze rustles the autumn leaves. The fire crackles softly at your feet. The cat purrs by your side. Slowly, these sounds begin to fade out. First, the stream and the breeze, then the fire. As you hear the cat's purring begin to disappear, the fog envelops you. Soft and supported, the cloud carries you off to dreamland.